The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Reality NSFW coverage of the Challenge All-Stars. We're talking part two of the finale, and holy moly, did we get lucky with who we had lined up as our guest? What are the freaking odds? I guess 1 in 12. I don't know.
1 in 10.
1 in 10. Okay, there we go. We're joined by Yes Duffy, winner of the Challenge All-Stars. Apparently, if you think about it, there's the Challenge, there's the Ruins, the Gauntlet. This was All-Stars. So does that make you the greatest Challenge competitor in the history of the Challenge?
In the entire history of all the Challenges, having never faced an elimination. Yeah, no, I got more in the tank. I got more to prove. This is, I feel like a rookie. Rookie gets to take the crown for the day, and I'll take it.
I love it. I mean, if anyone wants to throw an asterisk beside this victory, you had Darrell, who is one of the greatest Challenge competitors of all time, saying, hey, great, this is legit. You know, like when you guys, you know, the overnight seesaw camping excursion, you know, you have these all-stars going, this is not the tail on the donkey as I signed up for.
No, not at all. Respect to Darrell. I didn't know. So he shares a lot, and he shared so much with me. He was a mentor in so many ways, but he kept some cards and some secrets close. And one of them is how much gas he does have in the tank. I didn't know he runs marathons. I didn't know he runs marathons pretty fast. And if I had known, I would have been practicing and running even harder. And so then to know that I got this dude in the mountains, which is my comfort zone, then I'll take it.
Well, if he's running marathons, I run half marathons. You know, I don't do marathons. I just think marathons are ridiculous. I feel I prove the same thing running a half marathon than I do. You know, if you want to know how well I do at a marathon, just fucking double my time. I'll take it. I've strained my body enough. So. But truth be told, when I'm running a half marathon and I'm looking at the sign-up sheets for all the half marathons in my area, or, you know, I'll drive, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours, I'm looking for flat. That is my ideal half marathon. You know, if there's one that ends with this hill, a straight up hill, the last mile, I'm like, I don't need to do that half marathon. That sounds stupid. So, but I'm guessing if Darrell's anything like me, and I'm guessing probably isn't, but if he is, he's doing some flat marathons, and the mountains is not flat marathons.
He lives in Sacramento, so it's flat. He's in the valley, so he got the flats down. He knows he can beat me in the flats, and he even would tell me, hey, you know, he would say, congrats on the win, man. You deserve it. He's like, I still think if it's flat, I got you. But in the mountains, different story. So I've done some half marathons in the mountains. I like trail running. So the mountains and the views and the air and the trees and the squirrels, I'm down with that.
Yeah, my fastest half marathon time ever was actually a trail half marathon. However, the only reason that's my fastest time ever, it was, I think, like 25 degrees. And I'm like, this fucking sucks. And the sooner I'm fucking done, So yeah. But it wasn't like I was that much better that, or no, I'm just like, I have never been more miserable in my life, and it ain't stopping until I cross that finish line. So let's just go.
You sound like us on some of these challenges, man. I mean, that's the only way to get it done. It's like the end is near. If I can just grab that box that's 30 feet deep in the water, game over. I can win. That's how to end the struggle.
Right.
That's the name of the game. End the struggle.
So I feel that this season for me and I also believe Lauren and Alex, we saw this as a tale of two factions. I mean, like, you know, we had Mark Long that had the alliance that didn't exist, but I felt like there was a bigger alliance of I feel like Hisela had her crew and she was moving a lot of chess pieces. And conversely, we have a Jedi Knight opposing her and using Jedi mind tricks to control his pieces. Do you feel that that's an accurate description of the season?
I didn't know. Well, yes, and there's more. There are more little micro friendships and alliances that were there. And that's the thing is because we're not strangers, you don't just have like two or three different camps that promised each other something. You've got all the complexity of people went in as best friends and left as enemies, you know? So like you get a lot of that. Hisela and I were like that too. She was my number one supporter when I got voted off back in 2003. She was like, I can't believe you would do yes like that. I'm taking out all of you. And I was like, I thought going into this, she was my closest ally. And then as things evolve, these relationships evolve, and we're very dynamic people. The setting is dynamic and things change. And I realized she's got a different game going on that actually now is legit gunning for me.
Yeah.
So we ain't talking.
Well, that's part of the reason that you're here is I love you, yes. And I love Hisela.
Love you too.
I'm proposing to Hisela. I'm not proposing you. But if things don't work out, we'll talk. She says that you don't follow her on any social media, and she doesn't follow you on any social media. Can we amend this?
I appreciate you bringing it up and calling it out because we've had this. So I haven't heard what she told you. And I don't trust her, frankly. I don't trust what her game is and what she's told anybody. And that's cool, man. We're separate. We got our own games going. That's cool. Respect. I don't know. I think she operates more successfully not talking to me. And she knows that because, and then also I think I operated more successfully not speaking to her. And it's not that we don't like each other, but I knew, well, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I can't put words into her mouth, but I feel like if she came, people knew if they come around me in the house and you got game to talk and you got any kind of weird scheme and shit going on, I am not having it. I'm gonna call it out, and I'm not lying for you. I'm not lying for anybody. So if you got something cooking up, stay away from Yes, because Yes can't lie for you. He'll do it in a really awkward, nervous way, and it doesn't work.
But isn't there outside the game love that's been there for so long that there's still some of that lingering today? Or
yeah, we didn't hang out outside of the game, but well, before the game, we talked during quarantine and became close. I have so much respect for her and what she's been through in her life and as a mom and all the, you know, and her father hearing about her family. It's like that girl is a special sauce, and she got skills. She got a wide variety of skills. Mm-hmm. But that said, she doesn't show it all. She doesn't show everybody everything, I can tell. And that's how she survives. That's her way. I respect that. But that's just, I'm the opposite. I'm kind of like, you want to see my dirty laundry and how dirty my house is, or that I drive a 2007 Honda Odyssey van. I ain't got nothing else to prove. You know, I lay it all out there.
Well, she might be showing more than you know. So maybe why don't you throw that if you throw a follow on one of those, I think you quickly get a follow back.
I believe that. Well, I appreciate. I love. I really really appreciate the nudging here. I'm feeling the love, and I'm just. I'm listening to you, man. I'm listening to you.
Okay. I mean, I just. I mean. We watched you all season. You're this character that's jumped through our television, that, I mean, there's this positivity and compassion that I don't think we saw from anyone else on this challenge. Like, it was kind of a breath of fresh air. I mean, I would never do that on Survivor ever. Like, I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm planting seeds for fucking destruction and hiding behind a tree.
Love it. Love it.
So, but you know, to see this, you know, almost unique take on a competition reality show, you know, I see this on television. I see your Insta stories. So I know that person exists both inside the game and outside the game. So, one step further. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready yet. I don't know. I don't know. I also feel, I mean, so I'm just, let's be real. I'm sure she was real with you. Yeah. When someone is hooking up with someone else in the house, they have a special thing going. I know she had a special thing going. I also knew that that was just awkward and weird to me because I didn't know the specifics of Alton's situation. Nobody does, apparently.
Yeah.
And so that's just weird. And I didn't want to blow up her spot. It's like, in the end, what I told her at the reunion was, out of respect for you and the awkwardness of all of it, I just chose to not even go there with you because I didn't want it to turn to something you don't want to hear. Yeah. So it was a little, I was just being respectful for something I didn't understand. And frankly, she understands it. And I trust her to do what she wants to do in her life fully. I didn't understand it. So I was all like, I don't understand what's going on. So I'm just going to go over here. That was my way. That's smart. All. That's as much
smart.
As it.
This is a smart way.
So I don't mean to be an avoider. I guess that was an avoidant thing. But you know, really, we're supposed to be just laying it all out there for you guys. And if we got something to say, we go up to someone and say it. I mean, I think that's the real way to go about this stuff. And that's what I learned even now, watching it and learning from these other people that are on in this house with me. Those folks know how to put it out there. Hasela especially put it out there. They know how to make TV. Tech Money, he knows how to make TV. Darrell knows how to make TV, and that's fun. It's not fake. It's fun, and they know how to really enjoy it. Derek knows how to bring the heat, bring the energy, bring the vibe, bring the fun. So I learned from them, and I shouldn't just avoid things.
Well, I'm gonna say, like, you, it's not like you weren't making TV. It's different TV that you're making.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you brought a certain ingredient to the table that made it so much more unique, because you were the person who, like, you were like that little quiet assassin. You were the one that, like, you're walking past Darrell and you're like, oh, should I still be nice to him like I always am, or can I give a little shit talking? And when you shit talk, you still sound like you're so nice as you're shit talking him. And I'm just like, I've never seen someone shit talk. I'm like, oh, I like this guy still. Much.
We have fun with shit talking with each other, man. I feel like brothers with him. He welcomed me in real quick, and he and I will always have a friendly battle. We wound up competing all the time because obviously we're good competitors. We love competing. Derek loves competing. Mark loves competing. And so there's all these stupid little things in the house. Even if it's like, who can fill up their water bottle the fastest or whatever, we'll just try to do it quick. We got to do a thing. We'll try to do it quick. And big beat you. And so we did it all the time, even at the airport. You know, he and I are cutting in the lines to try to get through the passport faster and be like, beat you. And we have a lot of fun with it. The friendly camaraderie, the competition is real. Of course, we know we could wind up in the arena against each other too. So, I mean, we pranked each other. We had a lot of jokes. We talk a lot of shit. It's a lot of fun.
Is this Jordan Bird 2021?
Could be. but it's like, I feel like it's friendly, like, though, because it's like, it's not just you two. It's like, you could really tell, especially in this last episode, just like, it's competition, but it's more like camaraderie. Like, it's a respect of one another, doing what you can, see how much you got. And then, like, no one was sort of like, oh man, I didn't like win or like really go off on people. You're just like, respect the game, respect the hustle. Like, congrats, yes, congrats each, but like, congrats, Anissa. You finished easy. You finished. Like, you guys all like were there for each other, which is really cool to see.
We're all just trying to survive. I mean, there is. So I wasn't in the service. My dad was in the service, but the only thing I could imagine is maybe it's kind of like, is like, if you're in the service, like, or you're out on a battlefield or something, you never know what's going to happen. And you need to rely on everybody that's with you, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what your sexual orientation, whatever, you all got to band together because you don't know what's going to happen. And we felt that. we felt right. that together, like that we were surviving together, even though there was like a, but I'm still going to get in front. I'm still going to beat you, you know, it was fun. Good well, time.
Let's break down this episode. It's titled "You're the Best Around," and God DP, how do you not have "You're the Best Around" from the Karate Kid in this episode? like I already have it written out on my notes. I'm like, okay, they're obviously playing "You're the Best Around." I mean, but no.
He doesn't want to take the cheap way out. It's like he's into Hammer Time.
He is a firm believer in avoiding the low hanging fruit. we start with the previously on, and we have was that Derek skydiving?
I think it was him on the raft still.
Okay,
or like the canoe. Yeah.
Okay, because I saw the goggles. So. Okay, well, if he was on the canoe, we know which direction he was facing.
I heard actually that they went in. Well, you must know. You talked to yourself. I heard they went in more circles than we even see. That they were just sort of like spinning their way through this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they kept changing places. And the way they would continue to change places to continue to have their canoe backwards, no matter what they like all they had to do was just turn around. But no.
Yeah. Oh, and then they thought there was something underneath it that was turning them or something. And it's like, oh, who knows? I mean, that's an interesting thing. Like you always, not all canoes are equal. You know, the production doesn't make everything equal here all the time. There's always something that's got a hole in it or is the broken version. And don't get that one. You know, there's always a light log and a heavy log, and it matters who gets that.
Well, and that's when they realized they were paddling backwards, why it was so easy, and then they didn't figure out to turn around.
Yeah, they just turn around in your seat.
Oh, but, I remember passing them. I remember passing them. I was like, oh, hell yeah. See you guys later. Let's go.
Yeah, and if you didn't wait for Jemmy and you just went with Yosella, you were on the backwards canoe.
So I really, really, really didn't want to go with Yosella because I knew she was injured. So I was like, how do I not go into the final with Yosella? I just need to not be teamed up with her ever because she's injured. Otherwise, we'd work very well together. She's so smart. She's a big reason the game went the way it did based on sort of merit and respect. I really follow her lead on that because she started that. Especially when we're teammates in the first challenge. So respect, but I didn't want to roll with Yosella at all. So I was like, yeah, it's gotta be me and Jemmy.
But if you were forced to roll with her at all, I felt like that was the leg to do it because if her knees hurt, your knee ain't a factor in rowing.
I didn't think of that. Later, Derek told me that too. I was like, dude, that is smart. I mean, all these little micro strategies really are the way these challenges get won. They're all the little things, the way you tied your shoes or didn't or whatever. It's really fun.
Or took off your shirt and pants.
Or you take off the things. Or, you know, I had stolen all the masking tape that they wrap our boots in when they give us the water boots. And I wrapped all my toes, each individual toe in masking tape because I knew that we were going to get blisters and everything was going to be crazy in the mountains. And so, anyway, there's like all these little micro strategies that matter. It's fun. It's like my strike zone. It's really fun to just be out and you never know what's going to happen.
Do you wear those socks? You wear those socks with the individual toes?
No, those feel weird.
I tried them. Like,
and then there's the shoes too.
Yeah, I tried the Vibrams. My friend had a pair. I was like, no, these aren't happening. But I got the socks because you know I just run all the time, and I'm just it like someone's just like, oh, fair play, game changer, and I'm just like, and so I bought them. I'm like, and now you have another pair because these are the worst things ever. I can't run this.
Oh yeah, I feel like little gap, little spacers in there. You know,
horrible. Alex, have you tried those?
I've tried them once when I was like in high school. We all got a chance like to try those styles.
So last year?
I know I look young, but no, it wasn't last year. But I just remember running. I'm like, I feel like I can get injured way more with those than just a regular shoe. And so I was like, don't give me this ever again.
Yeah. No, I hated it.
Yeah, gear is tricky. Gear matters. You know, you never know what gear is going to give you. you never know. Everything's Under Armour. And so I didn't know if Under Armour shoes are going to be right for me. I actually bought some before just to see what Under Armour feels like, because obviously I knew I was running. I just donated all those Under Armour shoes and my other shoes. I just brought them to the homeless encampment down the street. Somebody's got them. Yeah.
Did you hate them?
Yep. Hung them up.
Did you hate them?
I didn't. They were fine. I thought there was one pair that I bought that was like super stiff. And then the pair that production gave us, actually, it was totally fine.
Okay. So because like The Rock has a new line of his Under Armour shoe. And like I watched like this, apparently I have way too much time on my hand, which I feel like I don't, but I watched like this 30-minute unboxing video. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, wow, these are cool and all, but like Under Armour kind of sucks.
Well, no, yeah. And with The Rock shoes, those are workout shoes. Those ain't running shoes or going up a hike shoes.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like they're trying to figure it out. They have this wide range of stuff. They're casting a wide net. I found stuff that worked. I found stuff that was horrible. And we just don't know what we're going to get. And it worked out. Luckily, I wasn't the guy complaining about my shoes. I had taped my toes together and everything was fine.
What's your running shoe of choice?
Well, right now I've got my Topos on. I love my, you wear Topos? Uh-oh. Super fast, super light. They're awesome.
Nice.
Okay.
Super wide.
See, I have a narrow. Well, I have a narrow to medium foot. So, but I use I've been rocking the new Brooks Glycerins.
That's like that professional shit, man.
Yeah. I need all the help I can get. I mean, you're sitting there going, you know, I can't believe a 41-year-old did this, and I'm just like, motherfucker, I'm 47. You're making me feel bad watching you.
All right.
You were representing. I'm just like, nah, this motherfucker is like, like I'm baby boomer now, and he's generation Y.
We're on the same team, man. Let's run a half together sometime. Well, I'll just be like staring at your butt the whole time, but that's fine.
Oh no, I
you'll be gone.
No. I've got mine down to a science, like, you know, like when you get there, like, you know, they're just like, you know, if you run an 8-minute mile, you go here. If you run an 8.5, go here, you know, like you kind of set up before you go. So I always find like a group, like one level faster than I should be. And then I find like just a really hot chick and I just follow her for as long as I can, like behind her, of course.
Have you ever done Beta Breakers or heard of Beta Breakers, the run that happens out here? It's 50,000 people, but they're all in costumes and crazy stuff. They got floats, beer kegs, DJs, everything, but it is one enormous foot race all the way through San Francisco. Well, from the Bay all the way to the ocean on the West Coast here. Bay to Breakers is crazy, and that's another one where people dress in full costumes, teams of all this crazy stuff, floats, but the front runners, those that have the good times, they actually are, you know, the Kenyans are also there and they're out there just killing it.
Wow.
But anyway, it's fun. We do it out here.
I try to run in as little as possible. So I'd be like, my costume's a Speedo. And they're like, yeah, it is. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, Johnny, you need to add that to your list for your next run for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So all right. So the episode begins with where we left off last week with the cliffhanger. Darrell saying he thinks he needs a medic. And I'm just like, holy shit, is this how we lose Darrell? And then very quickly we have Kellyanne going, suck it up, Buttercup. And we're all good.
Amazing. They passed me then. I had been first place the past two legs, and then I thought Anissa and I were gonna keep first place. That was the goal. And then those chili peppers kicked in. It was like it's like I ate mushrooms, man. Yeah. I mean, those things just, you lose it. You totally lose it. And so then Darrell passed me and we stayed close to them, but I never was close enough to see him get to that level of despair. That's real, man. I mean, that stuff was crazy. That was for
me. Would you have stopped to make sure he's okay?
I was just, for him? Would I have stopped? I don't know.
He's over there smiling like,
I would have kicked some dirt on him. I would have kicked a little dirt on him because that's what he would do to me. And that's just what we, that's how we roll, you know, no disrespect.
I feel like if it's that bad, I think each of you would have been like, dude, are you okay? And then, like, if you get the thumbs up, then yeah, there can be some dirt.
Yeah, well, I know that dude is Iron Man. I mean, that's a thing, as we all can trust Darrell. I didn't know that it got that bad. And then, but then Kellyanne, too, she's like, come on, get on up. Kellyanne ain't messing around. That was cool to see. And Darrell is, he's tough as nails. I know it. He can take anything. But that, the feeling, though, it's not just in your stomach when you eat these things. It really is. It's like in your brain and your eyes and everything. You can't, I didn't know. I barely knew which way was up. Like I could, it was hard to see.
Yeah.
So
clear up a little rumor and innuendo here. The signage said eat one pepper, right?
I don't know. I saw what there were four on the plate.
Right.
Yeah. So, but is that what we brought up last week?
The sign said one. I froze. Like I did a screen like little shot of the sign, and it said like one for each of you. And then they go to a plate with four on them. I'm like, oh fucking
hell. Well, Booth was out there at that day. It was fun. I got to meet him that day. Who runs? Gets to, you know, that the man with the plan back there, and he must have been like, turn it up on these folks right now. Everybody.
So did they say eat two peppers?
No, it just, there were four on a plate and there's teams of two. So you just go. I mean, if you had
just read the sign, you could have eaten one.
There are so many moments like that, right? You just read the sign and that's how we wind up getting sent home, man. This is my first grader goes through this every day. Failure to follow directions.
Yep.
That's one of the keys to life.
If you've ever thought about doing the Amazing Race,
wanted to so bad. My wife is so amazing. My wife and I thought since my 20s, I was like, we've got to do this. We had an application put together. We're going to do it all. We didn't do it. Love to do it. Survivor 2. I would love to.
The biggest cause for elimination is you'll see them at a checkpoint and, you know, and they're, you know, they're falling like an hour behind and, you know, and then, you know, one of the two will be like, just reread the clue. It's just like I said, just reread it. And then like, you know, in like the second line, you know, they're like, motherfucker.
So right. I would be toast. My reading comprehension is like out the window when I am reading. I am thinking about all these other things. I would just be toast. Now that said, in that challenge, there was another sign, and I don't know if we saw it in the it was actually shown or not. There's a sign that said, keep on going. Don't forget to keep going because there are refreshments ahead.
I think it said at the end, like something about once you get to the finish for refreshments or something like that.
Okay, once you get to the finish for refreshments, yes. And that was like, oh man, yeah. That was just the sign that just left me so frustrated because I really thought we were going to show up at something nice and peaceful and welcoming and they were going to finally say, good job.
Yeah, yeah, no.
That's the rookie in me for the
TJ's finals. Not that nice. TJ's not
that nice. Yes. Well, the refreshments were right by the tail on the donkey.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yes. So we get a little breathe, stretch, shake by Mace featuring P. Diddy at this point. Pretty excited. And We get an amazing talk from you. You know, like you're explaining to the viewers here, you know, poverty and you know what affordable housing looks like, and you know this and your family is your motivation here, and we get several of these snippets from you know several competitors. You know, like, John A. You know, not only had a baby 7 months ago, which is incredible. Her husband got furloughed at that same time. And it's just like, God bless America. What else, right. You know? Like, so it's really cool to, you know, to give these little nuggets of information here because, I mean, like you guys are, you know, mentally and physically challenging yourself, you know, to its limits and, you know, to hear, you know, kind of behind the scenes, your inspirations, I think for the viewer really, you know, really helps this this experience, you know, all come together.
Well, thank you. That's the drive in getting up every day. It was my wife and my family every single day, because I know what you see are challenges where we eat things, we paddle, we run, and we race and things. But really what's going on is we never, ever know what's going to happen. The mental stress of being able to be woken up, thrown on a plane, kicked out of the plane, dive at the lake at any moment, it's really the stress and struggle. And so, yeah, we got to find something to hold on, to cling on to. And for me, it's my wife and my family all day and every day. I have their notes with me the whole time. I had tucked them into my shorts. And that's just what gets the mind through the insanity of it all.
Did you bring a picture from home?
I brought like 4 pictures from home, and I kept them in my little bag because I don't want anyone to think I'm homesick and give them a reason to send me home.
So,
but I brought stuff. I got, there's this. This is a 4-leaf clover this is from my first grader. He left me with this. I mean, I brought this. This was cool. This was just my 4th grader and just gave me a little card. I love it. This was from my wife, and this is the one that just was so special. But it says, you already won in our mind. We won. We love you. And it was just a simple card that I just, man, I can get up and kick some ass every day, you know, and I got this people, these people on my side, you know?
Yeah, we were watching the Double Agent season, you know, prior to this season, and like towards the end, we see Corey. And he has a stack of photos like this big. And I go there, I'm just like, how smart is that? I mean, because like if I were like, you know, I have a 4-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter, like I would probably you know, either bring a picture of the two of them or you know, maybe bring 2 pictures. And I'm just like, for what I'm going to have to do to keep 2 pictures from getting all bent, I could bring a stack of pictures, no problem. Then I could be there like, hey, I got 150 pictures of my kids.
That's what John A. did. Oh, I had so much fun with Jenny going through all the photos of her and her family. Oh, it was so cool. And so, Cyrus did that too. He had like the straight up photo album to share.
The dummy in me is just like, I got my one picture and just like, man, I could have brought 58. I'd be remiss if I didn't show this. Drinks on Me writes, athlete, mathlete, sleeps in the mountains, climber, super smart, used his social game to not get voted in, probably knows how to make fire. He would be pretty good on Survivor, methinks. Yes, I'm in agreement. And as soon as you get your video done, let me know. I'm going to beeline you straight to the top.
Oh, let's go. Oh, I'd love it. However we can get there, that would be great. Hey, you know.
I am scared of you, though. Hey. I am very, very scared of you.
Don't be scared, man. We team up.
Okay, you say that, but that's what scares me.
Strength in numbers, man.
All right. So as far as motivations, we hear Big Easy is not repeating Gauntlet 3, and God Bless America, he did not. So I don't know what the Vegas over-under was on Big Easy being carted out of this finale, but I'm so happy that that did not take place.
Yeah, I was just happy not to see it quit.
Yeah, thank God for no quit. Just because we saw where there could have been a potential in this final, because it was really difficult, but everyone made it through. So I'm glad that everyone crossed the finish line. And it just, for me, seeing people quit and give up, then what was the point of going out there, especially because you know you're going to eat and things like that. And we saw it in Double Agents, basically Fessy quitting and giving up. And then what was the point of doing it?
Yeah, there were a couple of times where we pushed to the limits, you know, and stuff that wasn't shown. That night was way colder than you might ever see on TV.
Well, it looked like the sleeping bag was frozen.
Yeah, there's ice. It's all ice on top of those bags, you know, and it was that cold. I have not been that cold ever when I've been in the mountains and I've dug snow caves and slept in them. Like, this was different. Now you're in running shoes and yoga pants or whatever, you know, it was not meant for the cold. So we froze and there were people that were screaming that were like, this, I thought Kellyanne was just going to give up. I thought that, that I know Jemmy had a hard time with Easy. The struggle was real, but it's just weird because you don't see that there's no visual struggle when someone, it's kind of like someone drowning, like someone drowning is actually, you see nothing.
Yeah.
But it is like the worst thing that could be happening in the world. That's similar to what was happening that night. Like people were literally drowning and you just don't see it.
You think you would have done better if you had Yoda pants instead of yoga pants? Thank you. I'll be here all week.
So I do want to know, was Big Easy actually the only person that slept some? Because we just hear him snoring in this episode and then everyone else is just seems very, very uncomfortable with the sleeping situation.
That shit was real. Jemmy has a lot of sort of unbelievable insight and predictions into the futures. One of them, many of them, they were just, they came true. But one of them also was this whole, like, I don't want to be partnered with Easy thing. And she's partnered with Easy. And it's real, man. She was like, let's switch. He'd be like, no. Oh, man.
That made me so, did it make everyone happy, the two of the other?
Oh, man. I don't know. No, I mean, I feel for her. I want her to win. I want her to get to the top. I want, you know, I wasn't sure how it was all going to shake out. None of us knew who was going to, what was going to happen next, who was going to quit or not. So I just knew Kellyanne was like really, really cold. She had less clothes on than anybody else. We all had different levels of layers on depending on whatever we brought or found like along the way. So there was like, I didn't have any knee pads on, which were keeping people's ankles and knees warm. And so there's just, everyone had different levels of stuff. And Kellyanne doesn't have a whole lot of body fat to keep her warm at night. So she was like, she was cold. I mean, it was, we were shivering. Even so when Ruthie was amazing. She, as my partner, unbelievable. She's got like nerves of steel and no freak out, no stress, super calm. And then she told me, okay, yes, you can sleep now. And I went to go to rest and I could just, I'm laying on the thing. And of course it's just like hard and cold, but, and my feet are literally frozen. And the whole thing's shaking like this, and it's shaking because Ruthie's standing there and she's just shaking the whole time. Like, wow. Like 2 hours she let me sleep. And I'm super thankful for that. But it was, that's the way everybody was out there. We were all, we were squawking and barking and crying about it and everything. Everything was yelling. Everyone was yelling, this is a travesty. How can production do it? We're going to call my attorney. It was endless. People were going through everything. They're going through everything. We started to like try to unionize. Like we literally formed a union, like standing on those things.
And then daylight breaks and out comes TJ on the horse.
Oh my goodness. It was crazy. Crazy.
So, all right. So the eating challenge, I didn't think that looked that bad.
It just looks like a lot.
I mean, I eat like in my cupboard right now is like those like Penrose hot sausages and Vienna sausages. And I mean,
if you just eat ass and dick on the regular, then I guess then it's not that bad. I'm here all day.
That's what it was. I've been known to eat a little ass. Sorry, Lauren.
I took it there. No, that's what we were dealing with. Oh man, it was like, it's so, yes, they barbecued it, and yes, it actually is edible. That's fine. Knowing what it was just like, oh, that I couldn't. So the strategy there is to, I just tried to make it look like a pile of food and not know what it looked like. Yeah. That's the trick.
So did they tell you what it was? Because I don't think they don't tell us, the viewer, exactly what it is.
No.
Later on, we're
just told it's like scrap.
It was that. It was not scraps. It was body parts, private parts, and other unusual parts that were.
Makes sense.
Like, so,
but could you legit. Do the typical challenge, like eat some and then throw it up and that counts?
Well, Kellyanne was doing
that. No. So no, that happened to me twice where I threw it up and they made me eat it. You got to pick it up off the ground. Like they're inspecting the ground. There's no faking. Like I had, and then I like, yeah, I mean, it's gross, but like I had thrown up a legit pile of throw up that was like mush. And the dude's like, that you need to eat that. And I was like, it's mush. And I like scooped it in the grass, like in my hands, and I had to eat it. But that was like the level of detail that they were holding us to. There was no faking it. And Kellyanne, I thought she was faking it. She was right next to me. Oh my goodness. It was a circus for like an hour and a half of this, just the gagging and yelling and the squawking. And I thought she was struggling, but the truth was she was plowing through that food. And that's how she got first place. That was amazing.
Yeah. So just a heads up on Survivor. Like if you puke it up, you eat it or that. So like, I mean, those,
they weren't,
they rarely do it anymore.
Yeah. Like on Double Agents. I mean, you know, they were, and I'm just like, oh, stop it.
If it's edible now, I feel like if it's food that I know I'm not going to like harm myself because it's not food, I can probably find a way to eat it. And that's right. his newfound talent of mine, because I'm not an adventurous eater at all. I thought I was going to be out with a food challenge, but I wasn't. And actually the biggest part of it was Ruthie. Ruthie as my teammate, she coached me for over an hour on what to do.
Wow.
And I just looked at her and listened to her.
She looks so calm.
She's so chill. I mean, she was enjoying herself.
And she had a little, she has a little stomach. And see, that's the thing. She remained calm the entire time and was able to get done before other people because she was just eating in smaller increments.
Yes. Well, she did wind up throwing up a ton too. She threw up like 3/4 of the way through a number of times. And that's when I was coaching her because I was done. But she was like, here's what you do, man. She's like, this is fine. You know, people eat this. People eat this in other countries too. It's a delicacy. You know, mix the things that you don't like with the things that you like. And I was like, okay, let's go. Because at first I like gobbled this thing that tastes like chicken and it was like all gone.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a bad idea. You gotta like,
oh, yeah.
And then some of the things are super tough. Like you can't even chew it. You have to cut it, like cut it. Because yeah. You'll just chew forever. And so I think that was the pig snout.
Was anyone a vegetarian?
I don't know, but I don't know. I know Jemmy like is a healthy eater, and like that was, like she said, that was more meat she's eaten in years.
Yeah,
it was just huge. So you didn't think it looked like that much, and maybe it isn't that much to a lot of people, but to us it felt endless. It felt bottomless.
It looked like a plate of food in the South. That's how we
right yeah,
and probably the same things.
I had no clue that it was going to go down like that, man. I'm lucky that in Argentina they know how to barbecue. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, so my three favorite parts of this like entire scene of the food is first we get Darrell's quote of "What you don't know doesn't hurt you," like an STD, right? Yeah. And I was just like, "Oh, that's Darrell for you." That's like, yes. What we know this season is Darrell's just like always cracking those. So I love that. I love you going you're saying only thing you're hearing is a symphony of guts and vomit going out, while at the same time we're all listening to Flagpole Sitta. And I'm like, oh, how are you not hearing that at the same time, man? They're not playing it.
It's crazy.
Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger in my top 10 90s songs ever. And
great song.
I do not own it on vinyl, in case you guys were wondering.
Shame.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
But this is enough.
Yeah, and then whole section though. I mean, I was like last night when I watched, I was like rolling on the floor. I just was like, oh, this was nuts. It was nuts.
Yeah, and then my favorite part was actually you then see like this little symphony, like little orchestra going on, and it's just Alton and John A trying to just pretend like, oh, it's just a regular dinner. It's just like, oh, this ain't seasoned well, but you know, it's good, it's edible, it's good.
John A is like
yeah.
Oh, so funny, man. We all were struggling.
And Big Easy and Jimmy is, you know, is just like, hey, like, you know, if you're gonna quit, it's you know, it's cool. I got, and I'm just like, oh, don't Jedi mind trick her. And she comes there and she was like, I know what this motherfucker's doing.
Exactly.
He knows there's gonna be a run tomorrow.
Exactly.
So and he's trying to pin that shit on me. He's like, oh man, I would have killed that run.
Yep. Everyone saw that one. We couldn't see them talking, but you know, we're over by the fire, like drying off our wet clothes and preparing for a cold night. And I just see them working way into the night. I mean, you see it's dark, you know, they all were working late on that stuff. I thought
2 hours and 38 minutes.
We thought they were going to quit, you know, because it just felt.
But I think that worked out for her. I like, there's a possibility she doesn't do it unless he tries to fucking Jedi mind trick her.
Right.
She was just like, oh man, I can't do it. She's like, yeah, maybe. And she's like, fuck you.
Yeah, that really pissed her off. What I do want to know is, did you guys all, because you finished earlier, you had an advantage somewhat because you got to warm up by the fire. So immediately when Jemmy and Big Easy were done, did you guys have to go to the sleeping arrangements or did they have a moment to go by the fire?
They had like 5 minutes or something like that. Because it was already like later than anyone had expected and they have to bust out all the new lights and everything. You know, it's just a different scenario for shooting. So yeah, it was quick. We got them warmed up as quick as we could, try to dry off their socks and stuff like that. And then everyone, you know, I dried off Jarrell's clothes for him. I got him some sticks that like, we're like, it's like barbecuing your clothes over the fire, you know, as quick as you can, you know, to dry off. And then, yeah, then it's everybody get on your little shaky, weird torture devices. Let's go.
All right. With that, let's get a quick word from our sponsor and let's finish up the second half of the finale.
Reality NSFW listeners, Father's Day is just around the corner and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. And today you can get 20% off and free shipping if you use that code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
Now listen, I'm a dad, and you know how I became a dad? By shaving my balls! You're not making kids with hairy balls. No one's going down there. I got the opportunity to make lots more kids and celebrate Father's Day the only way I know how, by making kids. So here we go. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and just launched their Lawnmower 4.0. Imagine surprising your dad with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized body hair trimmer that says, your balls will thank you, on the box. Their fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. You might ask, how is the Lawnmower 4.0 different from other trimmers? Well, this upgraded trimmer includes a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. This is a great feature if your father or yourself do a lot of traveling. Lord knows I do. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. That's right. You can now shave your balls in the dark. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. Now, the new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. Yeah, you heard that right. Wireless charging ball trimmers are a real thing now.
Have you ever seen a nose bush sticking out of your dad's nose? Well, the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer is the best nose hair trimmer on the market and the perfect gift for your pops. They also have other amazing products like cologne, crop mop ball wipes, crop reviver ball toner. I'm actually going to start that whole sentence again. They also have other amazing products like cologne, crop mop ball wipes, crop reviver ball toner, and crop preserver ball deodorant. For all the females listening, you'll appreciate this part. Manscaped products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, dye-free, and vegan. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Get your dad a gift you know they will use. Get Manscaped.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. Don't forget that you came from your dad's balls. This year, show your original home some love with Manscaped.
That's awesome. The content, man. It's awesome.
Oh, for those of you watching, the new Reality NSFW cap just came in.
Nice. Oh, nice, man. Awesome.
Fun colors, neon. So, this looks your style. Man,
I get me one of those.
I know a guy. Like your chances. All right.
Nice, man.
real quick. I think we've discussed the sleeping arrangements, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask. You sleep in snow caves and sides of mountains. Yeah. Who does that?
It's so fun. It's actually insulated and warm. It's like an igloo, you know. Okay. So your own heat heats it on up. Feels good inside. It's cozy. It's beautiful.
All right. Fair enough. Now we know.
Yep. Now, that said, I'm not comfortable being cold. I didn't say, you know, I am okay with the cold. Now, that's what the torture of that evening's challenge was everybody getting colder than they've ever been in their entire life.
I think Alti would disagree. I think Alti would say your positivity and Kellyanne's complaining would be the hardest part.
Poor guy. He was tortured out there, man. Yeah, and then he's got to hear me being nice and positive. It's just killing him.
I love it. So next we have Pancho Villa showing up. he does this shit. Oh, my God. I have an amazing Pancho Villa story for another time. We are against the clock. So, but remember, there is a Pancho Villa story in everyone's future. If you're so... well, it's the final leg of TJ's final, and it's every man and woman for themselves. Double the points, because you know we're sitting there last week. We're just like, well, theoretically, only three people can win this thing, and double the points that opens up the field. We begin with La Copa de la Vida by Ricky Martin to start us off. And Darrell runs, and Yes doesn't. And were we just watching the story of the rabbit and the hare 2021?
Man, that was nuts. Well, that was even – there was more – I mean, there's more to it. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen. The only reason we even knew that mountain mattered was we saw a helicopter land on it. So we're kind of like, hey, something might be happening over there. Maybe we got to get there. TJ shows up. He was this close to getting bucked off that horse.
Oh, that horse did not look. Yeah, that thing did not look like he wanted to play with TJ.
We were just like, oh man, that horse did not want to come around our stinky fire that morning.
I mean, you know, like you let TJ get through the segment, but I am shocked that one of you didn't walk up and just slap it on the app.
I know, I was afraid to get DQ'd, man.
He would have done it if one of you were on it.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, so also that night, we're standing on those platforms. Horses broke loose. So there's horses just running all over in this area anyway. I mean, it's Argentina. It's Patagonia. There are these beautiful horses. And in the middle of the night, they all came through our camp. And they're wandering all around. Oh, this is like 3-4 in the morning. Probably like 10, 15 of them. So beautiful. And we're all just standing there like, you know, shivering. It was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever had in the outdoors. It was really amazing. And then there are these guys who show up. I don't know the term for them, but they are the wranglers of the horses. And they do it, you know, they're bareback and they can wrangle them all. And to watch them all work together was so cool. It was actually like, it was a way to keep us up. It was something to see. It broke our mind and how grueling everything was. So it entertained us. And then to see TJ show up, we're just like, oh, this is crazy. Shut up on a horse. Like, we're going to be riding horses?
All right. So it's told to us by at least one of you that this is a 5-mile trek. Now, this looks like more than 5 miles. Do you think that was just a guesstimate by somebody, or was it relayed to you that was 5 miles?
I really don't know. I don't remember. I didn't know what day it was any day that entire month. I don't really know. I don't track hiking in the mountains. Like, I don't track mileage. I should. But it's more like time. Yeah, I don't really know.
I mean, would you guess that was
actually? I think I did it in like, I don't know. I did it in an hour and a half, something like that.
So I'm thinking that's more than 5 miles.
Yeah.
They're going uphill so much, though, you know.
I think it must be more than 5 miles. I'm thinking if I run, I can run 5 miles in the flats. I know how long that is. It was longer than that, and it was steep, and you're also sleepless, and you just, you know, some of us had thrown up everything we ate. Some of us actually kept it in the tank. That was a big one. So there was a lot of different nutrition factors. Some of us successfully pooped in the woods and some of us unsuccessfully pooped in the woods. It all matters when you're about to start a big old race.
Oh, yeah.
And Darrell, it was funny. Darrell came up to me right when TJ's on the horse and he's like, hey, you want to run together for fun? Because I know he was going to size me up. You want to run together and then like whoever has more in the tank will just pull ahead and have some fun and go and win. And I was like, that sounds like fun, man. Let's go. Lock arms. We're buddies, man. It's great. And then if you feel stronger, let's go. You go. If I feel stronger, I'll go. And then the horn blows and he's gone. Just gone. I was like, damn, dude, that fool just tried to game me right there. He sprinted and I thought he knew something. I thought he knew that there was a finish line within 20 minutes away. And so then I was like, wow, I have to decide what I'm going to do. If I'm going to, I obviously can sprint and keep up with him. That I know I can do, but I didn't think that was the best plan. I was like, if I got to really get to that mountaintop, I can easily measure after hiking in the woods. I can look at different mountaintops and I can guess how long it's going to take me and I'll go. I mean, that's how I hike is you just look at some peaks and go, you don't need trails and stuff. You can just go. That's what I love. And so in that regard, it was fun. But then, creeping up on him, no, that was hella fun. I mean, I knew not to overheat. I've overheated on mountains before, so I knew that was a big one.
So, well, I am dying. Actually, no, someone says it's a 4-mile hike. I don't believe that at all. So top 5 funniest moments of the entire season. Elliptical trainer on a Nordic track. Coming through like the Terminator.
It's a nerdy ass yes coming on by.
Oh my God. How painful is that for Darrell? I mean, it's like, here I come.
Oh man. Oh, that was fun. I'd rather pass him than anybody else.
Oh, I bet.
He's just fun. Way out of the front like that, being out there with him, he's the guy to beat.
Yeah.
It would have been very interesting, though, if he kept that pace and actually did, like, get first in that leg. Because then you and him would have been tied at the very end.
Wow.
Wow. Like, that's how much of a difference it was. You getting first got you 2 points ahead. If it flipped, it would have tied it up.
Yeah, oh, wow. It was, I mean, and I was behind him for most of the time. And so I was going at a pace that I felt I was my fastest given the distance. This is the only time we've ever been in a challenge where you knew where you had to get to and you can actually pace it. So being strategic was key. And so there's multiple times I stopped to take clothes off. I actually didn't stop. I'd stop to get my pants off as you saw, but there was times where I was pulling off top layers too. So I like yanked the GoPro out, but I'm running. I got the GoPro dangling. I got all my stuff, backpack, everything. And then I'm
sure production's loving you.
Just keep going. And then, yeah, I'm like, I don't care right now. I mean, I can throw it all on the ground. It's like, this is an all out sprint. And I could have been running into the trees, falling on hills. I got a little lost for a minute there. It was hard. It did cross my mind that people could pull off those yellow markers and actually ruin it for everybody else.
Yeah.
But I chose the good path there and let everybody else find their way.
So if he wins, you guys tie. If I'm production, season 2 of All Stars is Team Yes versus Team Darrell.
Oh man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, you fucked it up.
We put together a squad. You go against a squad. You know, like those UFC. You know what is it? Those
the Ultimate Fighter.
The Ultimate Fighter. You know, show. We'll go. I'll put together a little squad. I got people.
Yeah, no, you fucked that up. You won. Sorry. So it's off the table.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He only gets to get the $500,000 for himself.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go.
No, it was fun. I was talking to myself the whole way, the whole last like 45 minutes going up that mountain. I was like insane and my head is just crazy. And I was like, I'm doing this for my friends. I'm doing this for my uncle, for my grandpa, for my grandma. She's from Argentina. It was for my mom, for my wife. And it was like, I was just going. I don't know what I was saying. I didn't know anyone knew that. I actually didn't think anyone could even hear me, but of course it's production. They got the microphone on, they know, well, it's on the GoPro, I guess, or whatever. So, they could hear me, and I was just shooting off of the mouth the whole way.
Were you, did you have singing in your head, "Don't Look Back" by Boston?
No, not at all. That's a whole
Alex would have.
When we leave it to production, it's in their own mastery of how they want to show it. No, there was no music in my mind whatsoever.
Yeah. Pete would get mad when the cover is shown with TJ. My favorite game of the cardigan displaying. So just wanted to sneak that in there.
And we also had to mention that while he was taking his clothes off, the song was "We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off."
Oh, that's right. Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. I always
have to take our clothes off.
I love that. Like that was 1986. That's 12-year-old Johnny Fairplay. And I used to just run around the house taking off my clothes. I always thought it was a girl that sang that song. I had no idea that was a dude.
Oh, and the same with me. Now yeah, I know.
Yeah. We all learned something today.
That's awesome. All learned something today.
Yeah. So,
good times.
And you explained to us, you know, just 41-year-old out of shape dad. I'm just like, go fuck yourself. You ain't out of shape. There's a lot of motherfuckers out of shape going. By this motherfucker, true. Amir.
I am more in shape now, and I think I do need to maybe rewrite my self image. I worked hard, you know, a couple months prior to try to, you know, get in shape. But man, I dropped a lot of pounds, learned a lot about intermittent fasting, learned a lot about just better eating. And that was my key to feeling great.
Do you know that Hisela, she played All-Stars at 195 and she's down to 165.
Wow. Wow.
She's ready.
Yeah, I mean, we all
coming out. Part two, get ready.
Coming out of the pandemic, we were all this sort of weird. It's like a cicada crawling out of the dirt. You know, we don't know what we're coming out to be yet. And luckily, we had these 30 days to shine it and show it and try it. And I was like, this is an experiment. Can I do this? I have no clue. Yeah, you know, I was a wrestler back in the day, and I kicked ass, and I did all these things. But like 20 years ago, that might not matter anymore.
Yeah, I'm a professional wrestler, and I've never kicked ass, so I don't exactly.
But going off of that, it's like, it's funny because you're like, oh, I'm this 41 owl shape. That same time, you're like, I still have so much left in the tank. Bring the other OGs. Bring the current cast in. I'll beat them too.
I've been holding my tongue the whole time, man, because I know Darrell taught me, like, don't roll the dice. You don't take those crazy risks, and so. I'm a competitive guy. Yeah. Do I want to wrestle Derek in the grass and see if he's going to pin me or see if I can pin him? Yeah. That's the fun of the game. You know, we're like a bunch of cousins, you know, at camp, but, unfortunately, as part of the game is we got to sort of chill and sit on our hands and not take those risks or not get hurt.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you had Cyrus, you know, almost breaking his ankle walking down the step.
Yeah. It was all that going on. Of course, there are way more injuries than like that gets shown. I think that's not really part of the story. But as friends supporting each other in the house, everybody's got different injuries, and we're all milking them. We're all helping each other out, icing them, and doing different things. It's funny.
Nice. But yeah, you end up winning, and I know you made a crown for Mark for his birthday or when he won. You made a crown for Katie. Was there a crown waiting for you too? Because
there was no crown for me. The only thing I had was that black hat I got from the dollar store. Saved my ass that night. And that was it.
Wow. So, did, when you got home, you didn't make one for yourself?
My kids don't even know yet still. Today, I'm going to tell them. Today, we're going to watch it together.
That's so awesome.
Today is going to be a big day for them and the family. And I got a box of donuts. So,
oh wow! So yeah, my 14-year-old. I think she watched my first Survivor like 4 years ago. I think she was like 10, and you know, and she had no idea, you know. So she's like watching every. She was just like, "Dad, you're still on." And I'm like, "Yeah," you know. And then we get to the last episode. She was like, "Oh my God, does my dad win driver? And then I don't. And she was just like, how did you not win? Like, I don't know. I took the two most worthless motherfuckers in the history of the game to the end. And then I lost the final fucking challenge.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well. I mean, best laid plans.
Yeah. Well, for me, the biggest takeaway was the process. You know, I love the fact that I can take the crown and at some point in my life, I'm going to get this money and pay taxes on half of it and do all that fun stuff. That's going to be great. But the process, being there was unbelievable. Being around all these other sort of superheroes and heroines out there, it was like pretty unbelievable. All the experiences we shared, you know, like any sort of group gathering that's really, really a focus and specific for a short amount of time like that. I mean, this was irreplaceable as an experience.
As great as that is, I can't imagine that this afternoon watching with your kids might be even greater. Like it, I mean, I could see, I mean, like, you know, you're so positive and, you know, and you know, I feel like we see your emotions. I just can't imagine your kids sitting there and just tears just pouring down your face, like a faucet. You can't even stop it.
It's gotta happen. It's weird. It is something that, like, because I can't talk about it much prior, now I can. This is the first day I can actually tell people. It's a different level of emotion. So yeah, maybe I'll just collapse in the street and everyone will wonder why I'm rolling on the ground crying to myself. But the emotion is real. There's one other time when I totally lost it, and it was when the challenge was over. We were in a hotel in Patagonia, and it was a bunch of us from the final, not everybody, but Easy had bought me a bottle of champagne, and then he held it out and he poured me a glass toward everyone. I was like, and he just looked at me, he put his hand on me, and was like, you can let it out, man. He's like, you can let it out, dude. Let it go. Let it all go. And I just like fell out of my chair and everyone's just like, oh, and everyone's crying. It was cool. And it was so special. And he's like, you should save this bottle. And he knows how to frame the right moments socially for people. He's a big enabler and helper in that regard. And I appreciate him for that. But that was my first, like, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. It's wild. I'm thankful. I'm just so thankful.
Wow. I love it. I love it. So
we were thankful for you coming back to our screens, showing the people who didn't know you who you were, showing the people who did know you that you still got in. You're this amazing person outside the show. You have, like, you're doing great on the show and off the show. And just from one standpoint, I hope this isn't the last time we see Yes on our screens.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. I thanks for welcoming who I am. You know, there's nothing better feeling for anyone than to feel understood and to feel that they put themselves out there and other people actually can believe in it or support it. I'm just like, that's, thank you. It's awesome.
Well, you did your best with your one in 900 chance of winning.
No, I feel like it's still one in 900. So...
Awesome. So what's next for you?
What's next? I mean, I'm still involved in the community and still doing a lot. I mean, today I've got back-to-back meetings. I'm on the Public Art Advisory Commission. I'm also on the zoning board. We're doing a lot of stuff around reparations and getting rid of single-family zoning so that we can have multifamily housing and dealing with all sorts of social justice issues. That's where... for me now, I'll even get a little bit more flexibility to be able to be more involved in the community with work that I do. I mean, yesterday I was just in the largest homeless encampment in the East Bay, you know, bringing clothes. And of course, I may not be welcome there. There might be people who aren't really to share their space, but I brought two boxes of popsicles on a hot ass day. So at least I showed up to make some friends I brought my challenge gear and donated it. And also this other stuff, I didn't mention this from the challenge, but just brought all these things that I'm not wearing right now, I'm not using to share. But that's really where at least my comfort zone is. I'm out in the world doing, and as an architect, of course, I do a lot of affordable housing. Most of my work is in affordable housing. And so the other times that I cry or lose it are usually when when the mayor cuts the ribbon of an affordable housing project that I worked on, that's like glossy and beautiful, looks like sexy lofts and fits in, it's modern and it's beautiful. And there are families that move in and get on the microphone and talk about how they've been living on the street with their kids for 2 years. And this is the first time they had a refrigerator. And it's those things that just, that keep me getting up every day and make me feel like I'm contributing something. So that's what's next. I also might buy a hot tub. Just saying.
Oh, wow. There you go.
There you go.
Well, when we wrap here, I am filming my first episode. I'm starting a new podcast. It's dropping mid-June. It's Help NSFW, and it's a self-help podcast. And we're, you know, challenging people to be the fucking awesomest versions of themselves that they can be. And each week we have a guest that shares their story. Like our first guest is this guy Corey, who I don't know. Did you ever watch The World's Toughest Race on Amazon? It's the Eco Challenge.
Yep.
Corey, he was one of on Team Onyx, the first all black team.
Oh yeah.
So he's.
Is he the one in the Speedo?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Corey's our first guest.
Awesome.
That'll be awesome. Dropping mid June, and then the following week we have Sonia from the Iron Cowboy team. And we're gonna have Nehemiah on, and Wendell from Survivor, and I'd love for you to be a part of that and tell us about some of these other things you have going on, because I think you have an incredible message, and I'd love to have the opportunity to share it as well.
Oh, well, I'm excited to see what you dig up, man. Thank you. That's great. I'm excited to follow along and learn. You know, I was a fan of like Tim Ferriss in the past, and others of just learning about how to learn from others and all these little tips and tricks. But the idea around self-help and self-survival and strategy and mental health, I think that is so under-addressed right now. So I think, that'll be so cool, man. I want to follow. I want to find out. I want to find out more.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming back. As I said, we rolled the wheel. You know, who can do this? And we rolled right.
Right.
We had your chances at better than 1 in 900. And I'm so glad that that life's lottery decided to pick you. And thank you. Thank you for an incredible season. I think you're an honorable winner, and I everyone here is proud of you.
Well, thank you. Oh, what a lucky time for me to meet you. Oh, sorry, crashed my microphone. I'll start again. What a lucky time for me to meet you, and thank you for inviting me into your world. And I appreciate it. I didn't know how any of this was going to go. And I'm okay with that unscripted nature and finding new people and new friends. And I love that it's people like you and you guys that now I can contribute to this community. And so you got my number.
Awesome.
Happy to help anytime. Let me know. Fundraisers, whatever, good stuff. What do you want to get involved in? I'll let you know if I can jump in. I'm always game. Awesome.
I'll get your address for a hat. So be on the lookout. Thanks. Don't give it away. All right. Lauren, Alex, I'll see you guys next week. We're going to talk the reunion. And until then, subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Tell your friends.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you guys. Bye.
Thanks. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.CO. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.